This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Mention Walmart, and you'd be hard-pressed to find someone who doesn't have a strong opinion about it. Some say the retail giant and the world's largest private employer is a godsend, providing affordable groceries, clothes, and home goods. Its critics say Walmart exploits its workers, kills local businesses, and sucks money out of local communities.
Which is fueling a growing debate in and around Boston, because Walmart wants to set up shop here. Fact is, Walmart owes much of its prosperity to rapid expansion, but it's run out of places to grow. Suburban and rural America are pretty much filled to the brim with Walmart, so the company is pushing into a new retail frontier, the cities.
Including big northern cities like Chicago, Washington, D.C., and New York, places where unions still wield considerable power and where small businesses still serve much of the retail market.
And Boston could be next. Walmart executives have met with local community leaders and developers and poured more than $2 million into local nonprofits in the last year.
There's long been Walmarts as close in as Quincy and Lynn, but new plans are in the works for stores in Somerville and Watertown and possibly Roxbury, despite strong opposition from Boston Mayor Tom Menino.
We asked passersby in Dudley Square in Roxbury how they would feel about Walmart coming to town.
I think it would be a beautiful thing to have, and yet it might not be for the smaller business people. And a lot of our businesses have gone out lately, you know, because I used to could come down here and get practically anything, and I have to go all the way in town for everything, you know. So it's good and it's bad.
Yeah, I think it would be a good idea for Walmart to come here. I mean, a lot of people go to other towns shopping at Walmart. Why not bring it here for more jobs for people in the neighborhood, if they'll hire people in the neighborhood for those jobs?
I don't really think they should come to Dudley. You know, who makes the merchandise? Is it made in the Philippines or Mexico or wherever? What's the outsourcing that's going on with Walmart?
They should build. Bring jobs to the community. I'm a carpenter by trade, so that'll bring work to the community, too, for guys out of work.
I don't see why not.
I know.
Why not? Nice. They got a CVS.
Right.
They got a Walgreens. Why not a Walmart?
Right.
I have to go way out to Randolph.
Right, that's where I go.
To Walmart. I swear to God. You see this? I got this from Walmart. $8. $8.97. Look, and I got like five of these. So what I'm saying is, if they're not willing to come down in their prices around here, well, then they should be taken out by Walmart.
That's right.
That's how I feel.
And like we said, strong opinions from whoever you talk to about Walmart. Voices there from Dudley Square in Roxbury talking about the possibility of a Walmart in their neighborhood. We heard from Kennedy Shepherd, Leroy Qualls, Lydia Maxwell, and Joe Johnson. Mr. Johnson's friend with those $8 shirts declined to give his name. In a moment, we're going to hear from a representative from Walmart, from opponents, and a researcher who has actually studied the economic impact of urban Walmarts. We also want to hear from you. Does Walmart have a place in Boston? Or does the megastore packed with cut-rate goods from China mean the death of local businesses? And what about its labor practices? Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And joining us now from Chicago, where Walmart is opening a new store in the West Loop neighborhood today, is Stephen Restivo. He's Director of Community Affairs for Walmart. And Stephen Restivo, welcome to Radio Boston. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
So let's just start with a really basic question. What can you tell us about your plans for Boston and the Boston area?
Well, I can tell you that in large cities all across the country, it's clear that folks are shopping Walmart, and we're looking to make access to our stores more convenient. And so in that way, Boston is no different than some of the other cities you've mentioned. However, I would throw out a big caveat that we haven't announced any stores within the city of Boston, and we just don't have any announced projects. I know there's been a lot of talk about certain neighborhoods, but suffice to say, while we are evaluating opportunities, we haven't actually announced any stores in the city.
Okay, understood. No announcements, but it's been widely reported here and there. The Boston Business Journal reported recently that Walmart is looking closely at locations in urban Boston, particularly in Roxbury. Is that true? I mean, you must have identified one or two neighborhoods that make more sense than others.
No, the only thing I can tell you, though, is that we are evaluating sites across the city with a concentration on what we think are underserved neighborhoods and communities in terms of jobs, and access to affordable food, and also what we perceive as badly served communities, communities where there are lots of options, but they may not be the most affordable options for customers, nor may they be the most healthy options.
For example, I mean, what? Give us an example of a community. I'm just going to push you a little more on this. I mean, can you say, for example, this neighborhood would make sense for a Walmart? For example, this other neighborhood would make sense for a Walmart?
Yeah, and I don't think we want to lead folks down that path more than folks already have been led to certain areas of the city. I think, suffice it to say, there are areas in and around the city of Boston where we think our stores can be part of the solution, and we'll continue to have conversations with developers, brokers, and landlords in an effort to bring our stores closer to our customers.
All right. Well, close in, very close to Boston, the Assembly Square area of Somerville, Walmart is planning the northeastern debut of a Walmart market. I've got that right. Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, it's a Walmart neighborhood market. We have about 155 of those stores across the country today. It's a format that was started in 1998. It's a store that averages about 30,000 to 40,000 square feet. It's mostly groceries, consumables, and pharmacy. And I think the broader point here is we now have stores ranging in size from 15,000 square feet up over 150,000 square feet. And one of the things that's changed at Walmart is we've become much more flexible in our approach to communities. So in some neighborhoods, a larger one-stop shop store would make more sense. And in others, a smaller, more convenient grocery store would make more sense. And at the end of the day, we want the store size and the merchandise mix to actually be a reflection of the neighborhood it's in.
Well, let me just go back to the Boston neighborhood question then. So one could assume that if you were going to put a Walmart in Boston, it would be one of these smaller stores. Because I think when most of us hear Walmart, we're thinking about those huge suburban box stores. That's not what we would be talking about for an example, an urban neighborhood in Boston?
Well, I think, again, it would depend on the needs of a particular community. I can tell you that in the city of Chicago, where I'm calling you from today, our first store opened in 2006. It's on the west side of Chicago. It's 150,000 square feet. Just this past fall, we announced four stores for Washington, D.C. They're all large format stores. They're all between 80 and 120,000 square feet. And again, they are all reflections of the wards in which they're located, and they aesthetically fit into the neighborhood.
What about some of the criticisms? One of them being that Walmart will put all kinds of small local businesses out of business. The traditional concern about Walmart moving in is that it sucks the life right out of downtowns.
Yeah, and our experience is that in the majority of cases, the opposite is actually true. Our stores are magnets for growth and development. So businesses that can diversify themselves and can take advantage of the spike in customer activity that comes with a Walmart store, they want to be as close to our stores as they can. I think just anecdotally, if you drive around the vicinity of Walmart stores, you're going to see large, medium, and small businesses all coexisting. And I think we've got a terrific example, again, to reference this West Side store in Chicago. It opened in 2006. There's 22 new businesses that have come to that community. The alderman who presides over that ward would tell you that it's a safer neighborhood. It's a better place to live, shop, and work. And we're really proud of the impact we've had on that neighborhood.
Well, as you consider Boston and set your sights on this city, one of the people you're going to want to convince is the mayor of Boston, who's spoken out pretty strongly against Walmart coming in. He said he's been quoted flatly as saying Walmart does not belong in Boston. Mayor Menino has said things like Walmart takes its money out of state. I want the money to stay in our neighborhoods and employ neighborhood people. What you've got some work to do here to seduce, I guess, to win over the local political establishment.
Well, and I think it's a good point, because I think part of it is our own fault. I think for years we didn't do a very good job of telling our own story, and as a result, the conversation regarding Walmart was pretty one-sided, and over time, perception became reality, and a lot of those urban myths gained lots of traction. Hmm. Look, the truth is, our wages and benefits are as good, if not better, than the majority of folks we compete with, union and non-union. Our average hourly full-time wage in the state of Massachusetts is $13.18 an hour. Most of the folks we employ in the state are full-time. We're proud of the affordable benefits we offer our folks, as well as the chance to build a career. And you know what we're finding in and around Boston and also across the country is the more people learn facts talks about the company, the more they see the value in bringing a store to their neighborhood.
Well, Stephen Restivo, Director of Community Affairs for Walmart, stand by. I want to introduce one of your critics and just let him bring up a couple of points and have you answer. Russ Davis is the Executive Director of Massachusetts Jobs with Justice, which is hosting a community forum about all this at in the Dudley Library in Roxbury on Thursday. And Russ Davis, welcome.
Thanks for having me on.
So you've been listening. What's your big concern about Walmart possibly coming to Dudley Square? Although, as Steve Restivo says, we don't know if that's really going to happen. But give us quickly your concern and let Mr. Restivo respond.
Sure. Well, you know, I think our concern, you know, despite what Steve said, is that, you know, Walmart coming in, I think it's just obvious, is going to take jobs away from other businesses, otherwise they wouldn't be coming in, and the same tax revenue that they say they're going to pay is being paid by other businesses now. So the question is, you know, where do the profits go? Because at the end of the day, you know, it's about profits. That's why Walmart is in business. And I think what we're saying to Steve and the other folks at Walmart is, you know, we would like to sit down with them, talk about the concerns that we have. I think a lot of the concerns are very real, and we would hope that, you know, Walmart says it's change, it wants to change, it wants to be the new Walmart, and we want to say, well, this is what we think, you know, a change Walmart would look like in Boston.
Well, without, I mean, what's on top of your list of, you know, what would be the change that you are seeking?
Well, I think, you know, there's well-known issues about workers' rights at Walmart. In fact, we just heard that one of the workers that is organizing in the new organization of Walmart Associates, our Walmart, was fired in California recently. So we're concerned about the way, you know, current employees are treated. We're concerned about the wages and benefits that folks are going to have if they work at Walmart. Everybody needs jobs, but, you know, people need good jobs that they can raise a family on. We're concerned about the taxpayers subsidizing the health care of Walmart workers. And we're concerned about the impact on small businesses.
Well, Steve Restivo, I know you said that the average wage in Massachusetts is $13.87 for people who work at Walmart. But respond to what Russ Davis was talking about there.
Yeah, and it's sorry to correct you. It's $13.18.
$13.18
per hour. And
sure.
I where to start? I guess, you know, in terms of conversations, I think one thing I want to make perfectly clear is we're willing to have a conversation with anyone who wants to talk about ways to create jobs, stimulate economic development, and improve access to affordable groceries. In terms of dollars staying in the community, you know, last year in Massachusetts alone, we collected about $91 million in sales tax. We paid more than $35 million in state and local taxes. We spent over $2.5 billion, with a B, dollars with Massachusetts-based suppliers for the merchandise that's sold in our stores. Just those relationships alone help support an additional 44,000 supplier jobs. So in terms of money giving back, I think those are all things our stores do on a regular basis. Obviously, the folks who work in our stores are local. And you mentioned at the top of the show the philanthropic contribution. It's something, quite frankly, we're proud of. We're proud of the impact those dollars have on communities. It's part of who we are as a company, and it'll continue in the city of Boston, whether we have stores there or not.
That's Steve Restivo, Community Affairs Director for Walmart. Listeners, we're asking if Walmart belongs in Boston. What do you think? Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Russ Davis, let me sort of play devil's advocate and sort of just throw a question at you. I mean, here's a store that wants to come in to neighborhoods that have needs, provide goods at very low cost, at a very low cost. This is a time when there are a lot of consumers out there that would appreciate that. What's wrong with that?
Well, I think the question is, you know, what's the cost of that? And I think that, you know, one of the concerns with Walmart, which is, you know, exceptional in the sense that you said it at the beginning, is that it is the largest private employer in the world. It drives a lot of the trends in terms of wages and benefits. And despite what Steve said, you know, I think it has a net negative impact on the labor market in places where it comes in. So that's one of our major concerns. You know, we're not saying no Walmart. You know, we're saying if Walmart wants to come in, it needs to sit down with the community. That's why we're having the forum on Thursday night to hear people's concerns. And as we've gone around the neighborhoods, you know, not just Roxbury, but Somerville and Watertown, we've talked to people about what their concerns are, and we would just hope Walmart would sit down and listen to those concerns.
Well, One of the questions that we're talking about here is whether Walmart's entry into an urban neighborhood in Boston would spur economic development, would help the community, or if it would hurt it. We're going to talk to a researcher now from Chicago who recently looked into that question and came back with some interesting results. David Merriman is an associate professor of the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois in Chicago, and he's co-author of a paper called The Impact of an Urban Walmart Store on Area Businesses, an Evaluation of One Chicago Neighborhood's Experience. And Professor Merriman, good to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us about what you looked at, the neighborhood you took a look at, and what you found.
Okay, so we looked at the West Side neighborhood that actually Steve talked about a little bit, where this is the first Walmart in the city of Chicago and one of the first urban Walmarts in the nation in terms of inside a big city. And there was much controversy about this store and what its impacts were going to be. And so we looked at the neighborhood. We did a survey of businesses in the area where the Walmart was going to be built prior to its opening in 2006. And then we followed that up for a couple of years by surveying businesses around there. We also looked at some other data on the sales in those neighborhoods and employment in those neighborhoods collected by the government. And the basic thing that we found was that competing businesses close to the Walmart were more likely to go out of business than those further away. Mm. And from that, we basically inferred that, you know, there was a competitive effect. As you might expect, if Walmart sells more, somebody else has to sell less. And we tried to calculate the number of jobs that were lost from those businesses that closed. It's sort of the excess. Not all. We didn't count every business that failed as being due to Walmart, but we could look at, you know, how many more failed than we might expect to fail because of Walmart. And we did that calculation with the number of jobs that were lost, and that roughly balanced the number of jobs that Walmart created.
So it was basically a wash when it comes to job loss versus job creation.
Right, exactly. And you know, that's not terribly surprising. You might have actually thought that Walmart, some other studies that have been done on a national basis actually shows that Walmart suppresses employment. And the reason it would suppress employment is because, you know, there's more sales per employee at Walmart than there might be in some other businesses. But we didn't find that in our neighborhood. We found it pretty much a wash. And similarly with sales, we found, you know, very little evidence that sales in the neighborhood had increased. Actually, some evidence that sales had been suppressed after Walmart. So we think, you know, that basically this, you know, the kinds of goods that Walmarts are selling are, you know, pretty ordinary day-to-day goods. The fact that Walmart opens in the neighborhood means that somebody else sells less if Walmart sells more.
That sounds like a sort of basic argument of a sort of basic principle of economics. Not that I'm an expert, but it seems like common sense what you just described there.
Right. I mean, you know, this study has gotten actually a lot of attention and was somewhat controversial, but it seems to me that, yeah, the results aren't really very surprising. That's what you would expect in a, you know, kind of a commercial activity. If somebody sells more, somebody else has to sell less.
Well, David Merriman, stand by. We've got a bunch of listeners on the line who want to join this conversation. They'll probably raise issues that I'll address to all three of you. Let's go to Paul, who's calling from Dorchester. Hi, Paul. You're on the air.
Hello. I wanted to say that, you know, I'm a proud union Democrat concerned about workers. And honestly, I could picture the Walmart sitting in really well. I live in Dorchester. And when I look at some of the businesses that are in the community, I really don't picture them having fantastic worker rights and working in position for their employees. And I actually think that in some situations, definitely Walmart, I think, might be a step up. And I think I'm really very open to the idea, having lived in the South End in Dorchester for like the last 10 years.
All right, Paul. Well, there's a vote in favor of Walmart in Boston. Thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it. Let's go to go ahead. Who's chiming in there?
This is David Merriman, and I just wanted to say, you know, we asked the competing businesses, those around Walmart in Chicago, you know, what wages did they pay and what benefits did they pay, and I will say, in terms of wages and benefits, you know, their wages were close to the minimum wage, and the benefits, you know, weren't particularly good from the stores that we looked at. So in that way, I think the caller might be right. There's also the thing to think about is, these are businesses, often very small businesses, where they might have a close relationship with the owner. That might be different than working for a big corporation.
Let's take another call. Steve is calling from Cohasset. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Happy to do it.
I was listening to the program. Great program, by the way. Thank you very much. And the representative from Walmart was talking about $13.18 an hour. And doing quick math, and I know that Walmart doesn't like to pay their employees overtime, so let's assume 35 hours a week is less than $24,000 a year. And I'm wondering if he could speak to how an adult in the city of Boston can live off of $24,000 a year. And I'll take my answer off the air, please.
Steve, thanks very much. I'll put that question to you, Steven Restivo from Walmart.
Yeah, I think there's a couple points here. First of all, back to the point of paying a wage that we think is very competitive. So at the end of the day, we want folks who work at Walmart to earn a competitive wage and, quite frankly, have a really tough time finding a better wage if they left Walmart to go work and have a similar job. I think one of the flaws in the question, and folks like to sort of project out the average hourly wage over the course of an annual salary, you're making a number of assumptions, obviously, in that question. You're assuming that that person is the sole breadwinner of their family. You're assuming that that is the only job that person holds. So it's easy to sort of take that 13-18 and project it over the course of the year. We're, again, proud of the competitive nature of our wages. We go to the lengths to be transparent in that we'll post the average hourly wage in every single state we do business in across the country. So it's there for folks to see. It's there, quite frankly, for our competitors to see. And again, the competitive wage, the access to affordable benefits, and the chance to build a career are things that I think just aren't talked about enough when it comes to Walmart. You know, nearly three-quarters of our store management team across the country started as an hourly associate at Walmart. So if you come to our stores and you're a cashier or you're pushing carts and you want to manage a store, you probably don't have to look too much further than your store manager to see what that path to advancement looks like.
Let's try to get a couple more calls in, if time permits. Carl is calling from Saugus. Hi, Carl. You're on the air.
Hello. I worked during college at Walmart, and one of the reasons I'd gone there was based on the number of business cases that had been done about Walmart that I was reading in school, and I wanted up close and personal view of that. It was an excellent job. The people that I worked with were great, and specifically now looking back as having a retail career in other places, the longevity of the associates that were there, there's a lot of very experienced people who stuck around and really voted with their feet to say that this was the job for them. So that means a lot to me in my business, and I would definitely put that as a positive for Walmart.
So you had a pretty good experience working there, notwithstanding some of the criticisms that we've heard.
Yep. Can I just chime in
here? Yes, please. That's Russ Davis, right?
Yeah. I think that we've heard around the country, the stories by Walmart that, people are making $13 an hour. I've spoken to a number of the associates who, by the way, are proud of working at Walmart. And that's why they formed an organization to try to improve working conditions at Walmart, because there's a lot of issues about hours being cut arbitrarily, favoritism, being displayed because people don't have, recourse to, a union or a voice at work. And we've also heard that, it's pretty rare that people make $13 an hour. And what we would like to do is sit down with, Steve or whoever from Walmart and get some kind of commitment that they're going to pay a living wage in Boston, because I think it's easy to say, the average hourly wage, but we are really concerned about what the working conditions are going to be in the actual stores.
So, Steve Restivo, respond to that, because to say the average wage, as Russ points out, is $13.11 an hour, that means there are a lot of folks making less, or probably a few more making more. But, are you willing to sit down with folks like Russ Davis and say, yeah, we'll come to the table with you in good faith and talk about these issues?
Well, like I said earlier, we're willing to have a conversation with anyone who wants to talk about ways to create quality jobs. We employ more than 11,000 people in the state of Massachusetts, and so we think that average hourly wage number is significant. I mean, at the end of the day, we're a publicly traded company, and we're posting wage information in every single state that we do business in. It's a level of transparency that our union and non-union competitors do not go to those lengths to sort of share that type of information. We felt, because again, perception had become reality over the years, it was in our best interest just to sort of flip our cards over and post those wage figures. So they're there for everyone to see, whether you work in Massachusetts or New York or California. Again, we're proud of the wages we offer. We think in the majority of cases, our wages are as good, if not better, than our competitors. And when you look at markets like Chicago and New York City, we've actually done market research that shows our starting wages exceed those offered by unionized grocers.
Steve Restivo, I've got to leave it there. Thank you so much. That's Steve Restivo, Director of Community Affairs for Walmart. Russ Davis, Executive Director of Massachusetts Job with Justice, and David Merriman, Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois in Chicago. Thank you all, gentlemen, very much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks. I look forward to sitting down with Steve the next time he's in Boston.
All right. Listeners, you can continue the conversation online at RadioBoston.org. And for more on Walmart's push into urban Boston, tune into WBUR's Morning Edition tomorrow. WBUR's Dolores Handy talks with local businesses in the Dudley Square area where there are conflicting opinions about this whole story. We'll be back after a short break. Up next, will hospital roommates soon be a thing of the past? Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.